Well, it's good to have you here, and I have the privilege this morning of opening the Word, and we're in a series called The Invitation, which I was going to introduce the 1 week and never did, and haven't spent a lot of time introducing, and I'm not going to take a lot of time today, but if you're intrigued by it, stay tuned, you're going to know more about it. But we've entitled it The Invitation to Gratitude. Thanksgiving Sunday Gratitude. So we know this is coming, and pastors try and do this thing where they're more and more creative, like, oh, what was a new take, a new spin I could give on? And I'm pretty uncreative, and there's no new take or no spin. If you are passing out, you want to go to sleep, or your mind is floating, let me give you a summary, and then we'll preach the sermon. Be thankful, people. All right? But pay attention, because I think it's more important than that. I started by realizing I was thinking about people in my life. There's a marked difference between grateful and ungrateful people. Have you ever noticed that? Like a really marked difference. And I started to sit down and go, what kinds of qualities do they demonstrate? What can I put my finger on? It's not scientific. This is out of my life. But in my life, ungrateful people demonstrate first an entitlement. You know, you run into them and they talk about how terrible things are, and I'm owed something, and it's my right, and I deserve, and there are things that just by being a human, you probably do deserve, and it is kind of flies in the face of Christ's approach to us, and God's approach while we were still sinners. But you know, the first thing that I notice about ungrateful people is entitlement sets in. It just kind of takes root in your heart. You begin to believe at the essence of everything that these are your inalienable rights and this is what you're entitled to. Secondly, discouragement. People that aren't grateful in my life, what I realize is the environment of spending time with them has been great discouragement to me. Where there's a lack of appreciation for what they do have or what has happened, and they're constantly looking to take from somewhere else. And they're really good at spotting what isn't going well. And instead of proposing good solutions or refinement or saying we're doing this right, but we need to change this, they can be really discouraging. And thirdly, I find that ungrateful people, people that don't practice thankfulness, they evidence a real discontent. I think it's the root of coveting. It's just an atmosphere that's absolutely toxic. And I think what happens is it's just never enough because you can't appreciate what is. Does that ring a bell with any of you? Can you like picture people that sit on the other side of the church, not on your side? No, don't do that. I'm kidding. Visitors are like, what? We can do that here? No, you can't. So I was thinking about grateful people. Who do I know that has a great practice of Thanksgiving? People that I'm around. Here's what happens when I'm around them. Here's what happens to me. I get amazing encouragement from them. Like when they're thanking people and they're encouraging, you know, for instance, if there'll be people I meet with and they're like, oh man, thank you so much for welcoming us to church. And it was so great to get a coffee and we really enjoyed this. And this just meant a lot to us, and, you know, keep the good fight. We know we didn't do everything right. We know that morning not everything worked. The PowerPoint could have blown up, or the sound could have gone down, or, you know what I mean? The guys back there could have, who knows? But they're encouraging, and it builds you up, and it makes you want to do some more. You know those people in your life? And all these scripture verses come up about encouraging one another. Secondly, I know grateful people demonstrate appreciation of things, of people, and of blessings. I love it when I'm talking to somebody and they go, you know what? I can't believe God's provided me with. And they give you an example. You know, they pull up on their motorcycle or they're in their new boat and it hasn't been something they coveted. It's just God opened the doors and provided something. They go, this is such a great tool. I can't believe we're blessed like this. And those are just things. There's other people who have a regular pattern of appreciating what God's doing and they count the blessing of other people in their lives. And the appreciation of things and of people and of the gifts of God are there in grateful people. And grateful people demonstrate great blessing. They're joyful about what you enjoy. Now, some of you will be a little confused by that. Here's what came to my mind when I was thinking about this and putting it together. There are some people that I won't tell when God does something cool for me or my wife and I receive a special blessing because I think they might be jealous. I think they might compare. I'm worried that they can't be happy for us. Do you know that grateful people, people who see what God's done for them, are able to take great joy in what God does for others? It's an amazing thing. And so as I thought, wow, this topic actually has some pretty big roots. It has some pretty big outcomes in our lives. And it has amazing impact in relationships. These are just some things I thought about. Here's some characteristics of grateful and ungrateful hearts. Well, look what happens in a relationship. And as I looked at how gratitude in relationships works out, I was like, wow. How many of you enjoy parenting your kids when they're ungrateful? Anyone? I can give you a minute if you want to think about it. Yeah. When your kids are ungrateful and they're just like, oh, this brand new phone's terrible. I dropped it. You want to just throttle them, don't you? Then you're trying not to sin in your anger. Come on. You all know what I'm talking about. Isn't it a challenge in life? And I'll talk about this a little later on, how the natural heart is bent to just soak up blessing and not turn and give thanks. Parenting, man, in the relationship, it's crazy. And parents, just a hot tip, Bob on the stool. Perhaps your kids' language and responses have been modeled and caught by you. Just a question. Ooh, that was kind of harsh, eh? It's Thanksgiving. There's food later. How about in the workplace? Here's one that's come up in our community lately, where benefits and hours change. Man, is that a tough thing to respond well to? It could be that when things were well and the company was making money, there was dividends and there was benefits and they let you use things and they just blessed you in ways to keep you happy. And when things changed, they needed to take some of those things back and you had to do the same amount of work or more with less compensation or less opportunity. Yeah, Thanksgiving and how we handle that makes a big difference in those situations. And I tell you, as you know, I've talked to different people as bosses where they've tried so hard to communicate and so hard to change the environment in their workplace to communicate to workers, this is necessary, and I know that it's hard. We still value you. But when the morale goes down, it just seems to be so difficult. And it's the root of it is at this heart of, am I a thankful person? And do I trust God for what he's allowed me to enjoy? Spouses, you'll nod. All the ladies in the room will probably shake their head up and down. And husbands will stare straight ahead with this one, pretending they don't see their wife going, yes. How about in relationships where effort's not noticed or appreciated? Yeah. And you just don't feel thanked. You just don't feel like it matters. It stinks, right? It has impact. It has effect. And when we're interacting with thankful people, their joy seems to spill into other people's lives. They change the context of relationship and conversation. When somebody is saying, they can't do that, and somebody else says, look what we have, or you start comparing yourself to people who have nothing or who have been laid off, it changes your whole perspective. They are inspired to serve others and make a difference, and they inspire you when you see somebody being thankful. When you see it making a difference, you want to participate and be involved. And thankful people bring healthy attitudes and appreciation for what God has done in a way that changes our perspective. And what I want you to see is this will be a short sermon from Scripture to remind you of a truth you probably already know, but it has deep effect on relationship, on witness, and on legacy. So if you're here and you're a follower of Jesus, perk up. It's important for this reminder to happen today. First Scripture is really, really clear. God is to be celebrated. He's the creator of all things. He created mankind for relationship, and celebrating God, being thankful, is part of that relationship. Listen to what David says in Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. I love, it just says to sing. It doesn't have to be on tune or wonderful. So it means I can participate. Just saying. Know that the Lord is, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. You know, the clear desire of God in Scripture for his children is to be a children who practice thanksgiving. And as he gives instructions for how we're to work as a church, in the middle of these instructions on how we relate and how we treat each other, and in 1 Thessalonians 5, he's given some pretty amazing things there on how to do that. Here's what it says. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And the will of God is that we're going to relate to one another in a way that takes us back to him. And that as his children, we're going to keep coming back to, in every circumstance he allows us to go through for purposes we might not even understand, we choose to be a people of thanksgiving. It was clear that this was the instruction and practice in the early church. I'm making a biblical case here, if you wondered what I was doing. In Colossians 2, 6 and 7, it says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. The example and practice and the witness of the church in Acts, when the Holy Spirit falls and this amazing thing happens in Acts 2, here's what it says. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Before you know, this is such an amazing thing that they're receiving their food with glad hearts. They're just praising God for what he's done. Others are noticing it. Others are saying, I want to follow Jesus. And the church in general, this fledgling church that started out, is under persecution. That's happening. And they were instructed by the apostles to exchange wrong talk for thanksgiving. Ephesians 4. And I got to tell you, when I added this verse, confession time, Donald Trump was in the news. And I thought, here's a good little rule of thumb for us. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. Now, I didn't mean that as a slam on him. What I'm saying is, if that was our rule of thumb, none of us would have situations in our life where we've inadvertently said things we know later on we shouldn't have done. Wouldn't it be interesting when the conversations you're having with your colleagues at work or your friends or the girls just having coffee, you applied this principle that when there's filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, you turned it to thanksgiving. What has God done? What do we enjoy? What blessings do we hold? And how can we be appreciative? We live in a great country. We have a standard of living 95% of the world doesn't have. What would it look like if we intentionally turned that way? Scripture's clear from design and instruction, And the example of the early church, thanksgiving is to be a part of the children of God. It is built into us and instructed. So here's the problem. It's not my natural inclination. Now, I know that I'm weird, and I know that I'm a little bit messed up, and I know that God called me to be a pastor just to see if it would work. And I know none of you have a heart like my heart, but I'm guessing that the problem of sin affects all of us. And what I understand is it's not our natural inclination or the natural bent of our heart towards giving thanks and taking stock, that it takes intention and work to do that. It's very, very difficult not to just gather into your life blessings and assume that they're yours to use and yours to enjoy for endless seasons and just become comfortable and take things for granted. We do that with grace too, right? We do that with Jesus. We know that we can. You go to a country where they can't meet for worship. I've got friends working in some closed countries, and I was at a prayer retreat that they were having, and they came out of the closed nations where they could be executed for speaking the name of Christ, and they gathered, and they weren't after free time, and they weren't after... they wanted to be together, but that they want to worship because they could worship with other Christians. And they didn't want the singing to end. Why? Because they couldn't do it. And when they had it, they just valued it and enjoyed it. And they couldn't believe how people, when they came home, took it for granted that they could be realigned around the heart of God in community. It broke their heart. The natural bent of our heart is a way. It's to gather up. It's to live with the presumption that I somehow deserve it or owed it, or I don't have to pay attention to it. And to live as thankful takes attention, intention, and practice. First, I want you to know from Scripture that your hearts can easily drift. Romans 1:21 says this, "For although they knew God, they didn't honor Him as God nor give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Let me give you a Bobism. I love this passage. I could spend a long time here, because I think it's the beginning of what Romans calls the seven steps to degradation, where it just kind of goes, there's compounding consequences to this. If you want to live following Jesus with all your heart, here's a simple thing. If you know God, honor Him as God and give thanks. So in my words, worship and prayer are critical in this matter. Without my realignment of heart in regular worship and regular prayer, where I'm reorienting who God is and what He's done, and I'm praying, I can drift away. My foolish heart can become darkened. Secondly, my natural inclination is to take for granted those that are closest to me. It's not only that my heart can easily drift and I can just live with this presumption of God and not be intentive and attentive to worship and prayer, but my brothers and sisters in Christ, my family, I can take them most for granted. And I can easily stop being thankful and just assume, well, that's who they are, that's what they should do, that's the way it is. In the one another statements in Scripture, it describes life in the family, and note it says a lot we're to forgive with and bear with one another. But if you look at the environment we're called to create with brothers and sisters in Christ, in Ephesians 5 it says this, "Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." It kind of talks about this environment of celebrating and giving thanks together and sharing the answers to prayer and building each other up. And it's just over and over and over in Scripture. There's consistent instruction for Christ followers to rejoice, to give thanks, and to encourage and build one another up in every situation we face because of what God has and what God is doing for me. So the natural bent of my heart is to not pay attention to my worship and prayer, and it's to probably not let people into my business about how God's answering prayer and what He's doing and celebrate and be thankful with them together. And thirdly, the natural bent of my heart is when I cry out to God in my pain and my difficult circumstance, I'm bent to begin with my discomfort, my needs, and my desperate requests. Don't think it's always wrong to just yell, "Oh God, help." But Scripture is pretty specific. It says in Philippians 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication," don't miss, "with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." God is calling us to be a thankful people. And knowing that it's not my natural drift, I need to take some attention and intention to change and maintain my level of thanksgiving. I love that Philippians passage because it says, in everything, we let our requests be made known. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And it doesn't mean that we have to be thankful for our circumstance or the reason for our request. If you just found out that somebody's sick, if you're going through a difficult time, if you're just in absolute pain, don't fake your thanksgiving, but start with the truth about who God is. This is what He has done for us. Move to what God has done in the past that you can praise Him for. And when you put Him in the right place, present to Him the desperation of your heart and your need for hope. And receive it from a place that can make a difference. So, if it's what God intended and it's not my natural drift, here's some things about practicing gratitude that I wanted to share with you today. First, I want you to be reminded of the foundation for your gratitude: God's love and action on my behalf. Maybe sitting in this service going, "I came to please fill in the blank," because some of you just came to make somebody happy. And some of you came to say, "I came to be in a Thanksgiving service because I know I should be, but deep down, there's these things that I just can't be thankful for." Let's talk about where the foundation of your Thanksgiving should be. And it shouldn't be in your circumstances. It should be for God's love and action on your behalf. Romans 8, he says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for all of us, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who brings any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Jesus Christ died in your place to take the penalty for your sin, and that penalty is paid. If you have accepted it, your sin is removed as far as the east is from the west. The foundation of your thanksgiving has to be at the very essence that while you were still a sinner, God loved you. He sent His Son to die for you. And that if He didn't hold His own Son back, what makes you think He's just going to take care of your sin and then force you to struggle through life? No, Jesus is alive and He's interceding. And we serve a God that we cannot be separated from. That's got to start with the foundation. Secondly, we need to be realigned. We need to remember who God is and what He's doing. If He's holding on to us, if He's interceding for us, here's some things you need to remember. There's scriptures you can go home and look up. I'm not going to take time for them today. But know that God has placed you here intentionally. It says in Psalm 139, He knew the time and the place you were going to be in. And in Acts 17, He knows the numbers of your days. And He's planned for your participation. In Ephesians 2:10, it says He prepared works for you to participate in beforehand. That He's given you His Holy Spirit and that He's given you gifts. You find that in Ephesians 4. And that those gifts will be empowered to build up the body. That in all circumstances, He's redemptive. Romans 8, some of you go, "You know what, Bob? You're talking and I'm understanding, but I've blown it so bad. My situation's such a mess." No, it's not. God is all about redemption. And He's all about taking what's broken and making it new again. As we realign to who God is and what He's doing, we remember that He's holding me, that He's able to sustain me in everything in Romans 8, that nothing can separate us from the love of God, and that He's returning for us, His bride, the church, and we find that in 2 Peter 3. When you're reminded that your gratitude is God's love and action on your behalf, you're realigned. God's arm is not too short. He's completely able. Look at what he's about. The scriptures affirm that he knows we're here. It changes our response to the circumstances we find ourselves in. All of a sudden, we can participate with a joy and a generosity we never knew possible. Why? Because we already have recognized who's done something for us, who's at work, what we have. Do you see how it changes your perspective completely? We can now serve with love and eager participation. Not serve out of obligation, not serve because, well, yeah, I've got to take my turn again. Well, yeah, I should, or somebody guilted me into it, or somebody pushed me into it. But out of a love and an eager participation to respond to what God already has done. And we seek to serve others in our city, and our desire is to bless others out of the blessing we ourselves have received. We already talked when we started about how this issue of gratitude and how you deal with it as a Christian is evident in all your relationships and all your life. We see it in our society and we see it in your relationships. That God has built us and that he wants us to respond to him a certain way and to each other a certain way and be a witness to a world, and that gratitude and thanksgiving are a part of all of that. We've talked about how the bent of our heart is to just soak it up and to drift. And it talks about it in Romans, right? And the bent of our heart is to take for granted those who are around us and to not be intentional and to let some things slide. And we said, well, how will we practice this? Well, it starts with being reminded what God is or who God is and what he's done and be realigned that this is how he's active and living, and it changes our response. So let's ask the big question. So what? You've got a bunch of good information that you can leave and have ham or turkey or McDonald's or whatever you're doing. I don't know. And go, yeah, Bob was a little worked up. Basically got us out on time. Good morning. Yeah. I want to give you an invitation. But before I do, I want you to know something. It requires a response. This is an RSVP kind of thing. Will you join us in examining your heart, in seeking to become a people who practice gratitude and who intentionally create environments that bless others and that glorify God? See, if you're not in, that's fine. This is where you can check out. But the invitation's out there, and if you respond to the invitation, God knows. Here's the first thing you need to ask. Will I surrender to the Lordship of Christ? What? The Lordship of Christ? Where did that come from? Oh, well, I'll give you a Bobism. God created you. God saved you. God is your Father. He's in authority. Jesus is coming back. And he's going to set everything right. And he has the right to expect of his children, his family, a response. Christianity is not a smorgasbord that you approach where you go, I'd like a little bit of eternal security, some of the blessing part, oh, lots of the blessing. Keep the plate up with that. None of the suffering with Christ. And none of the, if you love me, be obedient or obey. This whole thing is going to start and hinge on this. Am I willing to say God has the authority to command me to be intentional about examining my heart and about choosing to respond differently and asking for his empowerment to change? Lordship of Christ is a big deal. Will I do it God's way? Question one, you have to answer. Secondly, you need to begin to check your heart for drift. Let me give you three questions you can go home with. First, what would others close to me say if asked? If I could come to the coffee room, if I could hang out on your drive to work with your friends, if I could sit down in your home, if we could just be, you know, if we could bug you, basically. That's kind of creepy, right? What would the people that you interact with say in regards to your Thanksgiving? See, hey, give me some feedback. Do I seem like a thankful person? Do I seem like the kind of person who counts their blessings? Because we've all got good lawyers and we all go to the place where, oh, remember I thanked the lady at Tim's the other day when she gave me my coffee. I said, have a good day. Thank you. I'm a thankful person. Not what we're talking about. Second question. What does my money and time reflect? Somebody not that long ago had said to me, no, that's really important to me. But they admitted it didn't make it into their calendar for months on end. Nothing that's really important to you doesn't make it onto your calendar or your pocketbook. People who are convinced that saving for retirement, anyway, is an important thing, take it off the top of their check. They never miss. It's important to them. Gratitude. Seeing blessings God's given you. See, it affects how you hold on to your stuff. It affects how you care for your stuff. It affects how you share. What does your time and money reflect? Does your speech and your action reflect a heart of gratitude that really reflects well to the people you're engaged with, your Heavenly Father, and the family of God? I don't know. But those are the questions you go home and you look into your heart and you say, okay, God, Holy Spirit. You talk about it with your community group. Boy, Bob was really... How are we doing? Will I surrender to the Lordship of Christ? Am I willing to honestly check my heart for drift? And then what would an intentional shift look like? Let me suggest some things that you can go home and talk about. I think it looks like regular worship. I think it looks like you building a pattern in your life and in your family. It's not about, there's not a gold star for attendance. Please don't take me wrong. I understand work and I understand life. But hear me when I say this. It is impossible, impossible for you to be a grateful, thankful person around God without the constant reminders of the who and what of God. And while you do that individually, devotionally, there's something happens when the people of God get together and the Spirit of God moves. And there's something happens about putting ourselves under the biblical teaching and being in the environment. What does it look like? I think an intentional shift towards gratitude and perspective looks like a commitment to regular worship. I get that out of Romans 1. Although they knew him as God, they neither glorified him as God, which is what we do together, and secondly, gave thanks. I want you to look at your prayer life. If you want to make some steps down this, you need to renew your prayer life and be really intentional about thanksgiving to God, even in the midst of asking and crying out. What would it look like? If you did something as simple as saying, God, I really love turkey or ham. And the fresh vegetables of the garden mean a lot to me. So as we give thanks today for this food that we're about to participate in, I want to personalize this and thank you specifically, apple pie. See, I'm making you hungry. This is so fun. It's just wrong, but it's fun. It goes a little deeper than just thanking him for the food. What does it look like to intentionally start your prayer time by saying, praise comes first? What do I need to praise God for? And for some of you, it might have to be for a long time as simple as, I praise you that I didn't die today. Because life is so hard. But for most of you, if you stop and praise first, you've answered prayer. Our house is warm and it's cold outside. We had safety on that journey. Work is still providing for our needs. If you start with praise, it's with thanksgiving we let our requests be made known to God. Thirdly, I think you need to choose some responses and ask the Holy Spirit to make you aware. Here's the deal. If you say, what does an intentional shift look like? A commitment to regular worship, a renewed approach to prayer, and then choosing in your life to be a witness. It takes intention and forethought. The conversations you participate in, the speech that you use, the topics that you dwell on and are hopeless about, to bring perspective to that. Let me give you, for instance, how many of you find great hope and comfort in talking about politics right now? Anyone? Anyone? Yeah, I don't, right? And it's easy for me to be absolutely critical and despondent and even get to hopelessness in my conversations with people about the state of the church, about the state of the country, about instead of going, look at what God has done. Before we have that conversation, maybe we better appreciate the freedoms we have. Maybe we better appreciate that we have a medical system that actually works pretty good. Maybe we just need to appreciate the beauty of our country or the blessings we have had in the past. And as we give thanks, we change the tone of the conversation. And instead of being hopeless, we begin to ask God to direct and to intervene and to sustain us in the middle of it. I think we need to choose to direct people back to God, that He is able and involved even when we don't see it. And then finally, this intentional shift, a commitment to regular worship, a commitment to renewed prayer, a choosing to respond. It's accountability. Do you know how many times I've picked a start date to, I'm just going to have shakes for breakfast and lunch and I'm going to lose a few pounds. And the only times that it's ever really worked in my life is when I've had a few friends that are ruthless with me, that are doing it alongside me. If you want to change your witness, your legacy, your approach, if you want to experience what God has commanded you to be about and experience, accountability, where others can say, hey, that gratitude thing, not working so well for you today, is it? And you don't blow up, it's where you need to go. Let me pray for you and I'll get you out of here. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. And I thank you for this biblical truth of thanksgiving. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us so many rhythms and so many routines and you've written into us the need and the ability for it to be a part of our lives. And forgive us, Father, for where we take our eye off the ball or our natural bent kicks in and we begin to soak it all up and all we can see is what we don't have, not what we do. We begin to live as those entitled children, demanding from the Father more and more and not appreciating what has happened and not even appreciating the home that we do have. So forgive us where that's been our story and our case. And renew in us this conviction that you call us to be a people who through our gratitude to you and our celebration of you, your witness just goes forward to our world. That it changes relationships and it changes conversations and it changes families and it leaves an impact that a Christ one should leave. And so for those who respond to your invitation today, to examine their hearts, to agree once again that you will be Lord, and to look at some intentional shifts, I pray that your Spirit would empower them. And we just ask that you would continue to work in and through this place. Thank you that you're slow to anger and gracious with us. Now as we partner with you, Lord, do your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.